Well, good afternoon. Here we are Tuesday at 1:15. It's good to be able to be together today. Excited about the things of the Lord. Ask that you'd continue to pray for Richard and Leslie down in Rogersville in the Missions Conference. That God have his hand upon all that they do. Continue to pray that God will supply them opportunities as Richard's faithful in making those calls, that he'll get more appointments, more places to go and to share the gospel. And then pray that there'll be some that'll just take them on sight and seen. That's one thing that's been happening a lot during COVID. I've been visiting with new missionaries and churches that are, you know, kind of in a lockdown phase. They still want to be about the work of the Lord. And it's been kind of amazing how God has supplied for his churches during this time, and they're still looking for missionaries. And so, you know, I've known missionaries that have picked up two and three churches that they never went to just because they made a call and they had a need and they went ahead and took them on. So pray with them. They'll be able to get those funds raised and get to the field. Well, yesterday we started with the thought of zeal and the importance of zeal. And how that can relate and what it can look like in the Christian's life. We started with this, that zeal is another vital element of godly character. When the Bible talks about fervency, it's talking about zeal. Fervency is a heart filled with the thrill of God and with a fervor to do something for God. It's like a heart that's been set on fire for God. And that ought to be every Christian, you know. When we get saved, a lot of times people talk about, you know, I've heard people say, oh, you know, they just got saved, they'll get over that. Well, I hope and pray that we never get over the fact that we got saved. I hope and pray that we never get over the fact that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we recognize what he's done for us, and that we might honor and glorify him with our lives and our living. So we ought to be zealous. We ought to be excited about the things that God has done for us. We talked a little bit about Jehu, one of my favorite characters of the Bible. We shared 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 16, where Jehu said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. If you met people, would you tell them, hey, come and see my zealous work for the Lord. Come and see the zeal that I have for God. Matter of fact, I kind of wonder what it'd be like if we would have someone follow us around to watch the day in the life of us as a Christian. You know, would they say, oh yeah, there's great zeal in their life. They look forward to reading their Bible. They look forward to praying. They look forward to studying the Word of God. They look forward to telling others about Christ. Or would they say, there's not really much zeal in their life. There's not much excitement. There's not much that they do for the Lord. It's just like God's kind of, you know, an accessory in their life and in their living. You know, God needs to be so much more than an accessory in our life. And there ought to be a great excitement of all that we do. And then we talked a little bit further about Jehu, and the people on the wall said of Jehu, and the watchman told, saying, "He cometh even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimish, for he driveth furiously." And talking about the way he drove his chariot, and he was, you know, kind of all out in the way that he was going about everything that he did for the Lord. And we ought to be all out in the way that we serve God. You know, I believe we're living in the last days, folks. I believe that the coming of Christ is soon, that it's near, that our voices for the Lord shouldn't be silenced, that if there's ever been a time that we ought to tell others about Christ, it's now. If there's ever been a time that we should share our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us, it's now. We ought to be zealous about telling others about Christ. And we talked about, you know, how a young preacher preaches and he's got all this zeal and excitement. And, you know, we need to pray that the young men don't lose their zeal and excitement for the Lord. And pray that the old men don't lose their excitement for the Lord. You know, we ought to be excited about what we're preaching. We ought to be excited about what we're hearing when it comes to the Word of God and the things of God. We ought to walk out going, yeah, that's right. Man, That was some great preaching. It really challenged me. It really drew me closer to the Lord. There was some great zeal that was shown there. And so in our lives, there ought to be some zeal and some excitement. It ought to show forth in our singing. You know, as we sing, we ought to sing for the Lord. We ought to just sing all out for His honor and for His glory. And it ought to be seen in our living. Everything we do, might we bring honor and glory to the Lord. So we pick up with this thought where we left off yesterday. There's something about excitement that's contagious. A zealous person will attract other zealous people. A fire burning in my soul will light someone else's soul. A zealous personality, even if he's wrong, will draw a crowd. Think about Charles Manson. He got a crowd. He was zealous. He was excited. He was wild-eyed. And, you know, he got wild-eyed and got a crowd around him. And so that happens a lot. And so the fire that we have in our life will attract others unto the Lord. And so we ought to be zealous about what we do. We ought to be excited about the things of God. We ought to be excited about telling people about the Lord. We ought to be excited about serving Him. It kind of rings in our ears, doesn't it? What Jehu said, "Come and see my zeal for the Lord." You know, zeal is visible. Zeal is attractive to some, to other people. And zeal is something that comes from within. It's a result of conviction. It's a result of character and self-discipline. It makes me a self-starter. One man with conviction is equal to 99 people with interest. We have too many folks who are interested in the things of God, but they don't have a conviction and a zeal in their hearts. That is, there's no fervor that drives them. I like what David said when he said, "Saul's whole army was camped up there on the hilltop above the valley of Elah. For 40 days, that giant came into the valley twice a day and challenged Saul's army and made fun of them. He made fun of their God, their nation, and their heritage. They got a look at him no less than 80 times, and no one had the nerve to go down into the valley and face him. Those men of Saul's had been looking at the giant. It became intimidating and demoralizing to them. David had been on the backside of the hill looking at God for the last 40 days. He had heard, when he heard that the giant made fun of God and cursed and mocked Israel, David said, 'Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who in the world does he think he is anyway? Why nobody can talk that way about God and get away with it?' David said, 'Is there not a cause?'" David had a zeal. He had been out there on the backside taking care of sheep. And here these men had watched and been demoralized by this giant for 80 days. David shows up on the scene and with his great zeal, he says, "Is there not a cause?" His brothers, David's brothers, said, "Go back home. You have a naughty heart. You're just out here to see the battle. You are proud and arrogant. A man that has zeal is going to be accused of being cocky and proud sometimes. Please don't misunderstand me. Zeal is not pride. We do not have a lot of proud people, a bunch of peacocks strutting around. But if you have enough confidence to think that God can use you to do something, and if you have enough zeal to go after it, someone's going to think that you're arrogant and cocky. They're going to think that you're overconfident. There's a fine line between zeal and pride. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16:18 says. You'd better be able to distinguish in your own heart the difference between pride and zeal. Other people may not be able to tell the difference, but you better be able to tell the difference. You better guard your heart against pride, or you will self-destruct. Many times you're going to be misunderstood. Here was David. He had conviction and zeal. He said, "Who does this guy think he is? I'll go down there and fight him." His brother said, "You go home with the sheep. You have a naughty heart. You're just here spying on us." David said, "What have I now done? What did I do wrong? Is there not a cause? If you're not going to get out there and fight, someone has to go, big brother. If you'll go and fight him, then I'll go home." But no one there had enough confidence in God or enough zeal in the Lord to go down and to face that giant. David said, "I believe there's a cause. I'm willing to lay my life on the line for this cause. David was young and zealous, but the biggest thing about David was that he had not been looking at the giant for 40 days. He had been looking at God for the last 40 days. He had his eyes on the Lord. Look, amazing. Those men who were there in the valley, they had watched the giant come. They had their eyes off the Lord. They had their eyes off of the God that had led them there. They had their eyes on the giant. They allowed the giant to scare them. You know, many times as Christians, if we're not careful, we get our eyes on the giant, whatever it is. That giant comes and he scares us and he bullies us and we allow him to push us around. We allow him to take place in our heart. And before long, we're doing things out of fear because we're afraid of what the giant's going to do. We're afraid of what's going to happen because of the giant that's out there before us. Listen, we need to get our eyes on God. We need to get our eyes off of this world and the things of this world and the cares of this world. We need to focus upon him. We need to be zealous about the things of God. David said, I'm not going to be afraid. I see there's a cause. I've been with God for 40 days. I've been praying to him. You know, it's a great thing about God is that David was in constant contact with God. Here with the giant came down 2 times a day for 40 days, 80 times. But David had been in constant contact with God. He had sought to walk with the Lord all about his life. Listen, Christian friend, we got to be careful lest we get away from our zeal for loving God and our zeal to walk with God. Don't let anything take place in your life of walking with the Lord. There ought to be a great excitement and a great zeal about being able to be in the Lord's presence, about taking time daily to read our Bible, taking time daily to pray, to seek God's face, to meditate upon the Word of God. Man, I'm telling you, if you're spending a lot of time watching TV and being fed the lies of the media and all that goes on, whether it be from the election or the COVID or whatever is going on in this world, you're going to end up a depressed individual. And if you're not careful, you're going to buy into the lies. The giant is being shown you, and you're not spending enough time with God. We've got to get alone with God. We got to get back to him. We need him to be the lead and the guide in our life. We need to trust him more in all that we do. There ought to be a great zeal, a great fervor in our life for the things of God and for God himself. David had devoted himself to God. He had spent that time there on the backside with the sheep and in private with the Lord and seeking to walk with God. We need to be devoted to the Lord, to commune with God. We need to have convictions about God. We need to have a zeal for the Lord, be excited about the things of God, and be willing to put everything on the line in the face of giants or the enemies of God. Zeal accomplishes what others won't even try. The reason people don't accomplish anything is because they don't try. Zeal is what makes me willing to make the effort to get everything done for God when it looks impossible. That conviction and character is what makes me willing when everyone says, now, calm down, you'll get over that. And they won't even try. A zealot is an uncompromising partisan. A partisan is someone who has a defined position, a definite position. To be uncompromising is to be unwilling to change your mind, to be unwilling to concede what you believe. A zealot is a fanatic. You know, we ought to be fanatics for the Lord. We ought to be willing to be known as a fanatic for him. I don't mind someone knowing that I'm fanatic. A fanatic is someone that you can't change his mind and you can't change the subject. You can't change him from what he knows. You know, I'm a fanatic about my Bible. I believe my Bible is the Word of God. You're not going to convince me otherwise. If you could convince me otherwise, I wouldn't be serving God. I'd walk away from him. But the truth is, I know my Bible is true. I know it's the Word of God. I'm so thankful for it. Listen, there ought to be a great zeal in our life. We ought to put God first in all that we do. And I trust and pray that you'll pray and ask God, God, give me more zeal, and that I might be more dedicated to you and your word, that I might serve you with my life. Hey, I hope and pray that you have a great day. May the Lord bless you. I'll look forward to being with you tomorrow. Have a great day.